800-259-9231. Andy and Earwood.
And Mark.
You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All of the features on the site, we give them away. That is freetalklive.com, so enjoy that. Plus, as you well know, Free Talk Live brought to you by the Free State Project, your only choice for more personal freedom and smaller, less intrusive government. To learn more about joining the Second American Revolution, go to freestateproject.org. That's freestateproject.org. Now, I was involved today, Mark, in a Free State Project-related event. Well, not specifically with the Free State Project, but with a bunch of people who are members of the Free State Project, a number of early movers and prospective movers as well. I was in the state capitol for the first time today, Concord, New Hampshire, and was there because one of our listeners, Dave from New Hampshire, who calls in on a semi-regular basis to sort of give us updates on some of his, I guess, travels for liberty, the activism that he's been engaging in over the past several weeks and if not years on this program. And Dave was facing a charge of some sort because what he had done was he does these silent protests where he gets a sign, some sort of a whiteboard, makes up a custom sign and goes into a government bureaucracy. In many cases, it's a state government bureaucracy, like here in New Hampshire, the Department of Motor Vehicles, the school board, a state bureaucracy. But in this case, the case that was in question today, was his appearance at an IRS office in Nashua, New Hampshire.
Uh-huh.
And what he had done was he went into sort of somewhat duplicate what a different activist, Russell Canning, another person who lives up here in New Hampshire, is the part of the Free State Project, had done. He had gone in also, or attempted to go into an IRS office and hand them a flyer that essentially questioned whether or not it was right to work for the IRS. Now, Russell never made it into the IRS office because he had announced his intentions in advance on NHFree.com to go to said office. NHFree.com is NHFree.com is monitored by federal agents. We know this to be the case because one of the federal agents in Russell's case had testified that they monitor the website. So Dave did not announce his intentions in advance to go to an IRS office.
Sure, so they weren't waiting for him.
Correct. They had no idea he was going to show up. So he just showed up with one of his signs, stood in the IRS office silently, which is what he does. He's like the silent sign-holding protest guy. And an IRS bureaucrat came out and asked him to leave. He immediately began backing towards the exit, and he left. Now, apparently what he did before he left was he did hand one of the flyers to the IRS bureaucrat that he was talking to, the one asking him to leave.
Mm-hmm.
I say he's talking. He wasn't talking. That's why he handed the flyer, because the flyer was doing the communicating for him. So he handed this bureaucrat the flyer. Apparently at some point, she didn't see him do this, but at some point he also put a flyer down on another IRS bureaucrat's desk or in their area.
Okay.
And he left. The police were called when he was out in the hallway, because she didn't ask him to leave the building. She just asked him to leave the IRS area, and the police then escorted him out. And that was it. And he thought it was over and done with, until a federal agent contacted him at his home and asked to meet up with him. And I know you say we have a call on the line. I'm not screening the calls here tonight, so if it's related
John.
To this case.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll go to that in a moment. So the federal agent got in touch with him, said, Dave, I'd like to meet up with you. And Dave was obviously pretty cautious about all this, a little wary about this situation. And so they set up a meeting in a parking lot, sort of a neutral location, and a few other people accompanied Dave to the meeting where the federal agent attempted to hand him a citation, which Dave would not take. Now, the citation was for distribution of handbills on so-called federal property. And the fine was somewhere around $120 to $150. And he didn't take it, which forced the federal... The federal agent doesn't know how to handle this stuff. I mean, when you're a federal agent and you're imbued with this authority from the state, you're used to people just doing what you want them to.
Right. Bowing down, kissing your ring.
Right. When you
cleaning your shoes with their tongue.
When you hand them a citation, they're supposed to take the citation.
Yeah.
But Dave didn't take it. So apparently they mailed the citation to his house. They did finally manage to get it to him. And on there it said something about, well, if you don't want to pay this, I'm not sure exactly what the language was, but essentially it said, you can come to court and have a hearing on this citation if you aren't going to pay it. And so he elected to go to court and have this hearing, which is where I was this morning. Myself and a number of other Free Staters, and as I mentioned, potential Free Staters. In fact, we had a number of listeners. We had Michael from Wisconsin. We had Joy's husband from down in Georgia. He came up to sort of check things out. Tim, one of our amplifiers from, in fact, I think they're all amplifiers, but Tim came over from Illinois. So a bunch of people just happened to also be touring the state at that time just to sort of check out New Hampshire. And so they made a point of also attending today's trial. That plus there was a number of people that have been here for a few years as well. Great turnout. I'd say about 14, 15 people out on the side of the road holding signs and getting honks from people and all that sort of thing. So that's sort of the setup for what came next, and that was that we went into the courthouse, again, federal courthouse, and I found it kind of interesting. There was a few minor differences between the federal courthouse, and I'd never been in a federal courthouse before today. I've been in plenty of state, local courthouses. Comparing it to the experience down in New London, Connecticut, the bureaucrats here were a little more friendly and they seemed a little more relaxed, but they were actually a little more strict in regards to what they allowed you to take into the courtroom or not.
Okay.
For instance, in New London, Connecticut, I was able to take my cell phone successfully into the courtroom, so long as I told them I'd keep it off. Down here, there's no such rule. You have to check your cell phones at the front counter.
Really?
Yep.
Now, how do they keep track of all those
cell phones?
Every human being has a cell phone, right? Okay.
And this is what was really crappy. My cell phone is not an expensive phone. When I signed up for the package, it was the free phone. Okay, so no big deal.
What a surprise!
We had already walked to Wayne. Wayne drove me today.
Did they etch Miser on it for you?
That's funny.
Scrooge.
So we walked to Wayne's. Wayne had driven me, so we'd walked from his vehicle several blocks away. We'd already put all of our stuff in there: the video camera, the V for Vendetta masks, and all the stuff that we brought. And I still have my cell phone with me because I figured, they'll let me in.
Everyone brings cell phones everywhere.
And they said, no, you can't bring that in. I said, well, can I check this with you? Because down in New London, if you had something, you could fill out a little form, and they would put that form with your item, whatever the item was that they weren't allowing in. And in some cases, they wouldn't allow cell phones in if they could tell that the phone had a camera. So that was the only exception in New London. If your phone had a camera, you wouldn't be allowed in. So Julia, my girlfriend had filled out one of these forms down in New London. Now, that didn't do too much because the bureaucrats, A, don't pay attention, B, don't care. So when you go to pick up stuff, even though it has your name on it, they're not really paying enough attention to where they care. You can just say, that's mine, and then take it. But it was worse at the federal courthouse. Because I walked up afterwards, I said to the guy when I was going in, well, can I leave my name with you? Because that's what I'd seen them doing down in New London. I figured they'd have a simple system where I could do that.
Sure, something.
And he said, no. He said, you know, it's at your risk.
Yeah.
And I said, well,
we provide a space for you to put your cell phone.
Yep. He said, you could leave your business card. And I said, okay, fine. So I took my business card. That's one of those little clam phones. So I sort of clammed the business card in between the two sides of the phone and said, here you go. I said, are you going to be here when we get out? And he says, no. And so I just, at that point, I realized it was total chance as to whether or not I was going to get my cell phone back. Came out of the courtroom, and we'll get into what happened in the courtroom here in a moment. We'll bring John on to get his experience as well, because he was there too. But came out of the courtroom, went up to get my cell phone, and I said, yeah, I'm here to pick up my cell phone. Even though I was holding out another business card, figuring that this was something they might have done often, was take business cards in order to identify whose phone was what, just as a courtesy. And the guy pulls out all three or four cell phones that were behind the counter for me to see and says, which one is it?
Yeah, just point it out.
Yep.
Why, it's the gold-plated BlackBerry.
Yeah. I could have taken any one of those cell phones. Even if I hadn't come in with a cell phone, I could have walked out with a cell phone that day, this morning. 800-259-9231. Still a little loopy. Didn't get much sleep. We're going to get to John's experience here, and we'll tell you what happened with Dave in court today. Your show. You take control. Free Talk Live.
Taking you to nonpartisan places you've never been to. and leaving you there.
Do you think the country would be better off without the two parties? I mean, if we just got rid of that little D and that little R next to the legislators' names, would the sky fall? I can see almost no downsides to something like that, and a ton of potential advantages for America.
Common Sense with Dan Carlin. The opinions of a new generation. Get the MP3 or podcast at iTunes or go to dancarlin.com.
How much are you paying for your residential long-distance phone service? Well, it's too much. Packet 8 is offering local and long-distance VoIP phone service for as low as $20 a month. You can call anywhere in the United States and Canada for as little as $20 a month. With Packet 8's soft talk service, you can turn your computer into a video phone. Packet 8 also offers virtual office services for small businesses. Get started and get saving with Packet 8. Go to Packet8.com or call 1-866-TRY-VOIP. That's Packet8.com or 1-866-TRY-VOIP.
The United States seems to be celebrating over its triumph of reducing government debt. But the truth be told, public and private debt increased to a record high in 1999, reaching a peak of $14.8 trillion, marking 10.57% annual increase, outpacing its previous 10 years. The U.S. economy receives its currency by taking on debt through private banking institution called the Federal Reserve System. In the year 2000, debt growth collapsed to only 4.5%. It's bad enough that the U.S. citizens is bound by debt in order to have commerce. However, shocking the economy with a reduction of this magnitude could wipe out years of growth in a stock portfolio. Before you make your next investment decision, get the cold hard facts. Call 1-800-686-2237 for your free report on the outstanding level of public and private debt. You must understand how recession and depression are driven by outstanding debt. Call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Hello, this is Amy Bjorklund. Thanks to a quantum leap in garlic research, the health benefits of 20 fresh garlic cloves are now available in one tiny capsule. With stabilized allicin, the proven power of garlic has been transformed into what is perhaps the most important medicinal product ever developed, and there's no odor. Stabilized allicin gives you and your family a safe, natural weapon that kills harmful bacteria, viruses, and funguses, all without harming the friendly bacteria in the digestive tract. This means strong immunity, fewer and shorter colds, and the best possible protection from deadly diseases, none of which prescription drugs can offer. What's more, this product can deter mosquitoes from biting you and safely keep fleas and ticks off your pets. Visit truthandexcellence.com, click the Truth and Excellence banner on GCNlive.com, or call me, Amy Bjorklund, personally at 805-595-2711. 805-595-2711.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You take control of the airwaves. Toll-free, the Monday edition. Inside Hour Number 1, and it's Ian here with you. And Mark, you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All of the features and functions there are completely free, and that includes live streams, a broadband version of the show, and a dial-up version. Both await you at freetalklive.com. As we continue the story about what I was doing this morning, I was out in Concord, New Hampshire, the state capital, to appear in a courtroom trial. I wasn't actually appearing on the witness stand or anything. I was just there in, I guess, moral support. Is that? I suppose that would have been the role of those of us who were attending. It was about 15 people showed up in support of Dave Ridley, who is the gentleman who calls in from time to time here on the show to sort of update us on his protest that he does here in New Hampshire. And in this case, he was facing a hundred.
He's a prolific protester too.
Oh yeah, he's very busy, very active, awesome guy. And that's why a lot of people turned out to help out here. That's why there were 15 people mm-hmm. of all different, you know, ages there in support of him, because he is a great guy. And so he was facing a $100-plus assessment or citation, I believe was the word, for distributing handbills on federal property. And Dave went into to court today in front of a federal judge. And he didn't have a lawyer with him, which, as we're going to discuss, probably hurt him. But he tried to take on the case himself, and it didn't work out so well. It didn't work out terribly in that he's still walking around as a semi-free man like the rest of us. But and so he's not in jail, but he didn't win. And I want to bring John on here from New Hampshire. John, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark, just to kind of get your assertion of what went on this morning here, because you were probably a little more lucid than I was.
Well, I don't know about that. You hearing me?
Yeah, we got you.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned, just to start with, the human interaction at the courthouse, even though it's a federal building. It's interesting what happens here in New Hampshire, and I've noticed it from the DMV to the offices of, you know, just in the town offices. Mm-hmm. People here have a certain respect for the citizens are the people who are supposed to be in charge. Now, it's a federal building, and, you know, you can't expect all that much. But it's interesting. I think federal court in a different state might be a little bit different.
I think you may be right about that, though I have no base of comparison. So, to be fair, we should probably just move on to exactly what had occurred. Essentially, there was actually sort of an interesting case before Dave's case. There weren't a lot of people in that courtroom that had to, you know, appear before the judge, so we didn't have to wait a long time. Like they tried to screw with us down in New London.
Right, they might have wanted to get us out of there.
Yeah, that didn't.
In fact, the point of my call is not specific to Dave's case, because I'm sure that we're going to spend some time on that. I'm hoping Dave will call in and others.
Mm-hmm.
The specific of my call is something that I mentioned in relation to what happened down in Connecticut, what I call the subtle brutality, where they moved the docket. You know, they messed with us.
Yeah.
They told us it wasn't going to happen till 2, and I was saying at that point, you know, when people read this in the paper, all they're going to read is case continued. Mm-hmm. They're not going to know what went on inside that courtroom.
That's why we're here.
What happened today, where I associate it with the subtle brutality, was one of the cases that came before Dave's.
Yeah.
I believe it was the first case of the day.
Mm-hmm.
There was when the day opens in federal court, they read a list of who's supposed to be there, and they quickly go down the list, and if you're not there and didn't stand up, then they issue a warrant for your arrest.
Right, which is what happened with Russell Canning when he was supposed to appear. They issued a warrant.
That's a different case, because in this case, they went down the list, they issue warrants for these people's arrest. I assume they go out immediately onto the Internet, onto every law enforcement, you know, throughout the world probably now. And actually what had happened, there's a fellow who had been camping in an inappropriate area, and his wife was there to answer the charges.
Mm-hmm.
And they had actually called a number, which is a federal number, and the judge was saying, well, that's down in Texas, as if it had nothing to do with him. Well, it's the damn federal number that they're supposed to call. And the guy did. And all they had done is probably camp in a wrong area.
Yeah, federally protected land or something like that.
Yeah, so it's probably just a damn mistake, and they didn't mean any harm, and they weren't even fighting this. So the woman comes, and they had called the number, and the deal is, you know, the husband and wife can't both take the same day off, and they went into court to try to, you know, resolve the matter.
Right. And the wife had made that clear to the judge that, you know, my husband couldn't make it. She wanted to enter a plea for both of them as guilty, accept whatever fine it was that he was going to hand out, pay it, and move on with her life. That was her plan.
In fairness to him, he did say, you know, I have a real hard time accepting a plea from somebody who's not here. but the prosecutor did agree, you know, this is an agreement that we have, and we can resolve this matter here and today. Here's, you know, whatever it is, the little assessment, and you know, like I said, these people aren't fighting. A young, you know, the woman was young. I imagine the husband probably the same age.
Mm-hmm.
But my thinking when I leave the courtroom is this poor fellow has probably a federal warrant out on his ass, and someday down the road, maybe 5-10 years from now, he gets pulled over on a speeding ticket. And all of a sudden, Homeland Security, here we go.
Yeah, that didn't.
The guy's got a federal warrant for an arrest.
It didn't sink in on me until later.
That's subtle brutality.
Well, they had called, and it's also not only was it subtle brutality, but it was also just subtle ignorance and stupidity on the part of the bureaucrats. Because what they did was they called the names of the people that were supposed to be there, and three out of the three names weren't there. So the judge ordered warrants out on their arrest. But then this woman comes up and essentially says, well, my husband called. I'm here to plead guilty for the both of us. And the prosecutor then said, for expediency's sake, can we just go ahead? We're just going to go ahead and drop the charges on the husband since he wasn't there to plead guilty because the judge just couldn't accept a plea from somebody that wasn't in his courtroom.
Which is fine, and
right.
I give him a lot of credit for doing that. My concern is the meat grinder and the subtle brutality.
Right. Well, they dropped the charges, and then they never rescinded the warrant for his arrest.
Right. And then 5 or 10 years from now, we read in the paper that so and so was arrested as a fugitive from justice on a federal case.
John, we're running short on time, my man. I want to get your thoughts on Dave's case here before we head out. John.
Okay.
Yeah, your thoughts on Dave's case.
Dave did a wonderful job. Dave started his arguments with reading the First Amendment to the judge, which the judge agreed to, and then there was some discussion about that and how there's, you know, the so-called, you know, you can't cry fire in a theater or whatever. That's, I guess, a metaphor for, you know, there's restrictions on speech. And then Dave brought up the Tenth Amendment, where, you know, if it's not handed off to the federal government, the federal government has no rights.
Right.
The judge seemed to be in agreement, but yet, when pushed, and the judge has a fairly decent reputation as standing up for the Constitution.
He had an okay demeanor. He was certainly better than the New London judge was. And
seems to me that when push came to shove, the guy was not willing to back the Constitution. He said, appeal it. I'm going against the Constitution,
yep,
and you can try to appeal it.
We'll give you the details coming up. And, John, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. 1-800-259-9231. More on the way on what exactly happened with Dave in court this morning, because it wasn't so great. In fact, as he pointed out, the judge ruled against the Constitution. It's Free Talk Live.
Shelly, you look exhausted. What's wrong?
I am so tired. I just get so hot at night and can't sleep. I have tried everything. All kinds of fans, sheets, pillows. You name it, I've tried it.
My husband has always been a hot sleeper. He's never had a good night's sleep. Then we discovered something that really helped. It's called the Bedfan Personal Cooling System.
The what?
The Bedfan Personal Cooling System. It will keep you cool all night long and will work for everyone that sleeps hot, no matter what the reason. You can see it at bedfan.com.
How well are you sleeping? Are you getting the rest your body needs? Sleep disorder centers across the country recommend that you must stay cool to get a good night's sleep. The Bedfan will keep you cool and give you the restful sleep you deserve. With our 30-day 100% guarantee, you risk nothing. Are you a hot sleeper? Is your partner a hot sleeper? Or are you looking for the perfect gift for that person who has everything? The Bedfan is the answer. Visit us today at www.bedfan.com. That's www.bedfan.com.
For centuries, salt products have been known to help people stay well in body, mind, and spirit. Soleil Wellness is a unique company that scoured the world to find the best salt-based products to help you and your family. Safe, easy-to-use, environmentally friendly products that fit into any lifestyle, decor, and can be used by anyone at any age. Soleil Wellness has a unique selection of salt-based products. Not only Himalayan gourmet salt and healing bath salts, Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, ionizing salt crystal lamps, respiratory relieving salt pipes, pain relieving pillows, and more. All designed to keep you and your family balanced and well. Visit Soleil Wellness today online at natural-salt.com. natural-salt-lamps.com. That's natural-salt-lamps.com. Or call 312-224-2710. That's 312-224-2710. Mention GCN Live for a free gift.
Want to know the secret to finding a shop that can keep your car running like new? Find the cleanest shop in town, where cleaning is top priority. Not talking about clean floors, but better shops have those too. I mean shops that have the best training, equipment, and chemistry to clean every air, fuel, and fluid system in your vehicle. Keep it clean, and you don't have to keep replacing parts. Find your clean shop at bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. What's better than a tiny tiger in your tank? A tornado under your hood. A tornado is an easy-to-install, maintenance-free air twister designed to increase gas mileage. I personally commissioned independent tests to verify results in 6 vehicles, and all of them gained MPG with tornado. With today's gas prices, it makes sense to cage the gas-saving power of a tornado. Visit tornadoair.com or go to Pep Boys, Napa, or AutoZone today.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
This is GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. You take control of the airwaves. Toll free, 800-259-9231. That is 1-800-259-9231. Join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The listener map awaits you. Over 1,700 people have added themselves to said listener map, and you can do that as well. Or you can just surf it and see who else is listening to Free Talk Live. Head over to map.freetalklive.com to experience that for free, like everything else on our site, map.freetalklive.com.
What does a person who's been called aggressively nonpartisan sound like? A lot like a libertarian, sometimes. Check out Common Sense with Dan Carlin and see why he thought the Free Talk Live audience would respond to his ad. Get the podcast at iTunes or go to dancarlin.com. That's dancarlin.com.
That's right. It is your show. You bring up anything. That's why we call it Free Talk Live. As we continue to discuss the federal court trial that I attended this morning, it wasn't a trial for me. It was a trial for Dave in New Hampshire, who calls the show from time to time. He engages in some very creative protests. And one that he engaged in at an IRS office got him in a little bit of hot water, where a federal agent approached him, handed him a citation, or attempted to hand him a citation, for distributing handbills on federal property. Now, Dave came into court this morning and attempted to point out to the judge, who you could tell just by the look on this judge's face, that he was essentially humoring Dave. Like, it probably wouldn't have mattered what Dave said. He would have walked out of that courtroom with a $125 fee, as he did. There might have been an opportunity for him to snake out of it if he'd had a lawyer involved, or if he had...
But the lawyer would have cost significantly more than $125.
Perhaps not. I was told that there were a couple of Free Stater lawyers that were looking at maybe taking the case pro bono, mm-hmm. and may still, should he decide to appeal. But anyway, what essentially happened was Dave went up, as John pointed out in the last segment, he read the First Amendment in front of the judge because of the whole petitioning clause, which we talked about over the weekend with the We the People organization in the midst of a court trial to determine what this means, this final section of the First Amendment that says that you have the right to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Now, I think Dave asked a number of good questions when he was up there.
he asked if this was indeed the supreme law of the land. Does the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, trump all other laws? And the judge sort of tacitly admitted that, yes, it does, but then also said that these other laws are reasonable. These laws that prohibit speech on government property are
right. They
reasonable.
Go and they take the Constitution, which is unreasonable, and they make it reasonable.
Right, and he used the excuses the judge used were absolutely despicable. He suggested that they're reasonable and necessary because of security concerns. Now, how it is that speech laws have anything to do with security at a government agency, I'm not sure. And how it is that Dave was a security threat is another question entirely, because he clearly wasn't. He's a pretty friendly-looking dude.
Well, I can see, to some extent, what's being said by the judge. First off, you have to live, you have to think from the point of view that everything the government is doing at this point is legitimate and reasonable.
Yes, that was the judge's point of view.
Well, yeah, and one has to be at that point of view. So first, the IRS makes perfectly good sense. We need the IRS. The IRS is right, true, just, and honorable. Okay, now if people were allowed to protest, you know, the American people were allowed to protest completely unhindered in any way, then, a bunch of dirty hippies could conceivably surround every IRS agent's desk and scream at the top of their lungs, hey ho, the man has got to go, and, release doves and picket signs, and basically make a nuisance of themselves.
Yeah.
Like, how could I talk, if I was an IRS agent, how could I talk on the telephone if all you could hear was, kumbaya, my lord, you know, and the crap that these people...
I think that'd be great.
right, you do.
Right.
But you're coming from the point of view that the IRS should not exist,
right.
Should not be able to operate, so he's not coming from there.
Mm-hmm.
Where you have to be coming from, and this doesn't make him, an impartial judge, by the way, is that... the IRS makes perfectly good sense.
Yep.
So, now, Dave wasn't doing anything to hinder the operation of the IRS.
Not at all.
But it's a slippery slope, my friend.
Ah, yes.
You let one silent protester in, and then pretty
soon... the office will be filled with people.
Pretty soon, you got 150 silent protesters in there. They're drinking all the water out of the bubbler machine. They're using the bathroom. They're not wiping the toilet
seat. That would be a very interesting protest you've come up with, Mark. Let's take it to an extreme.
What, drinking all the water?
Would they cite all 150 people?
I think they wouldn't.
They wouldn't be able to identify all 150 people.
Nope.
One of the only reasons why they were able to identify Dave,
you've got to make sure,
is because he wrote about it on the Keene Free Press. He wrote an article about his experience, and then a day and a half later, they came after him.
Now the problem with what you're talking about there is getting 150 people and getting them all on board for the same thing.
Oh yeah, 15
because
would be more.
If you get somebody in there that for whatever reason doesn't want to be quite as nonviolent as Dave was, pretty soon there's a scuffle,
yeah.
And then everybody's got a big problem. It was a riot,
right.
You know. I mean, essentially that's how they're gonna paint the whole thing.
So here's the other way he spun this, as Dave pointed
I'm sorry, before you go on, that's the genius of Dave's protests. Is he does what they say.
He leaves when asked.
He leaves when asked. He does it a little slowly, but he does what's said. They can't accuse him at any point of being, like a rioter or some deviant, something bad. They can't really
right.
do that. Whereas if, the wrong person doing a protest
sure.
could certainly be painted with that brush.
There's no way you could paint what he did with a negative brush. Anyway, he got up and pointed out the First Amendment, and the judge said, "Well, yes, you have plenty of places where you." The judge said, "I'm up here defending the Constitution every day." The judge made that claim,
mm-hmm.
And he said, "You, I encourage you to go out and exert your First Amendment rights. You can go right out here in front of this courthouse and do it." And he, gave a few examples of areas where you could do it. And he said, this is an area where you can't do it.
Yeah.
And he said, and then he used the fire in a crowded theater excuse as to why it's okay for the government to place restrictions on free
That's
speech.
Something that everyone understands. They get it. That
right.
If you yelled fire in a crowded theater,
that's why he used
there
it.
Could be people stampede. I wonder can I yell fire in a mostly vacant theater? I mean, is that going to be a problem?
Unfortunately, Dave obviously had a lot on his mind, and he didn't realize to say, to shoot back maybe, well, I understand where you're coming from, Judge, but that's private property. What we're talking about
and
is government
damage.
Property.
Like, if you go and yell fire in a crowded theater, the thing is if you yell it and no one reacts, you're not going to get any trouble because no one cared. Now, if you yell it and people do react and people get hurt, you've caused damage. Damage to people, damage to property.
Inciting a riot.
And there's results for that. You know, there's results for what you've done and what you've said, as opposed to Dave protesting in an IRS office has not caused any damage.
Well, now, you could argue that he did cause damage because you could argue that he littered, for instance, in the office. He handed one of the flyers to the IRS agent.
Right.
But he also left one on a countertop somewhere.
Were they able to, did they know that?
Now, they couldn't. Now, here's an interesting part of the case. They actually took this to trial today. He would not plead either way, so the judge entered a plea of not guilty for him and took it to trial right there in the courtroom today.
With a jury of his peers?
There was no jury.
Well, wait a minute. Here in the Constitution, it says that if
he must have waived it. He didn't say he didn't object to the trial, so the trial went on.
But it says here in suits of common law where the value of the controversy shall exceed $20, the right of the trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court in the United States according to the rules of common law.
I'm sure he'll listen to the show and consider that on his appeal. But he went ahead and went with the trial today.
But, you know, the judges have a tendency to just forget this whole trial by jury.
We don't
do that in this kind of case.
Oh, the judge lied to him, too, at a certain point. Anyway, Dave got up on the stand, and that was when he was in trouble. Because he wanted to get up to say a few things, and then the prosecutor asked him if indeed he was, or actually I think the judge asked him this. The judge asked him if he indeed did leave a flyer on this person's desk.
Uh-huh.
And Dave did not want to answer the question. That's when the judge lied to him and said that, well, you waived your right to non-response.
That's not true.
It's not true. He didn't waive that right. And anyway, he can always invoke the Fifth Amendment, which allows you to not respond to things. We'll tell you what happened coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Do you know the truth about breast cancer? Do you realize that the race for the cure is over? The best-kept secret in the world today is that now it's possible to kill cancer without personal suffering, mutilation, and poisoning of your entire system. Now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at a physician's office. Star War technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267. 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
Do you forget the names of the people you met last week, even the people you met last night? How would you like to be able to walk into a room, meet 50 people or more, and recall all their names instantly? I'm America's Memory Master, Matthew Girk, and I'll show you how to do it in the Memory Switch System, the fast, easy memory improvement technology for busy people who are embarrassed by their bad memory. In the Memory Switch, I'll show you how to recall names, dates, facts, figures, numbers, even business and technical data in a split second, and remember it for years. I'll show you how to lock information you see, hear, and read into your memory so you can recall it right when you need it for as long as you need it. Give me just one short hour, and I'll help you improve your memory so dramatically people will notice. Call now and try the Memory Switch risk-free for 30 days. 1-800-761-3669. Guaranteed or your money back. 1-800-761-3669. 1-800-761-3669.
According to a recent report by the National Institute of Health, high blood pressure is a major risk factor for heart disease and the chief risk factor for stroke and heart failure. It affects about 50 million Americans. That's one in four adults. Because many people have high blood pressure for years without knowing it, the American Heart Association calls it the silent killer. At ResearchedHerbs.com, we recognize your concern for your well-being. As your online partner in health, we are committed to empowering you with the resources you need to make informed health decisions about high blood pressure. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com to learn more about heart care, the widely researched natural herbal supplement for regulating blood pressure and maintaining optimum heart health. Did you know that the safety and effectiveness of heart care is backed by over 100 clinical trials and experimental studies? Act now. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com or call us at 1-800-845-3841 to start protecting yourself from the silent killer. That's 1-800-845-3841.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. You take control, bring in what's on your mind. Toll-free 800-259-9231. That's 1-800-259-9231. It is Ian here with you.
And Mark.
You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All of the features on the site, we give them away. But we do ask that you voluntarily support the show by buying some stuff at store.freetalklive.com. Head over and order yourself some Free Talk Live t-shirts and hats. We even got Free Talk Live bowling shirts.
They're nice.
Yeah, there's flags. Well, now, we can't say they're nice yet, though.
Well,
I've heard that
the pictures of them are attractive.
Johnson has gotten some of these products in already, and he's preparing to ship them out. And he says that many of them are pretty nice. There's some minor tweaks we're going to make to the next batch. But otherwise, he's very satisfied with cool. what we've gotten. So that's all on the way. Details at store.freetalklive.com. Order some stuff. And don't forget, you can also order a bunch of stuff at amazon.freetalklive.com. This is for anything that's not Free Talk Live merchandise. Anything you might need to buy in life, whether it's furniture, baby stuff, accessories, groceries, DVDs and books, all there at amazon.freetalklive.com. And the key is, if you enter through that link, then anything you buy at that point, Free Talk Live gets a percentage of. So it's a great way to get the stuff you need delivered to your door and help Free Talk Live out all at the same time. That is, again, amazon.freetalklive.com. So we're talking about what happened in federal court today to one of our listeners, Dave in New Hampshire. He was on trial for some sort of a hearing. It was a hearing that turned into a trial because he didn't say that he wanted to postpone it or anything like that. So it just went on today. No jury, nothing like that. And the judge got him up on the stand. What the issue was he distributing handbills on federal property, which is the sense you would think should be protected free speech. And Dave tried to put out the idea that he was simply petitioning for a redress of grievances, as is specified in the First Amendment to the Bill of Rights, that you have this right.
Right.
This is supposed to be the law, the supreme law of the land. If you aren't able to petition a redress of grievances on federal property by handing them a piece of paper,
how else would you do it?
Yeah, how else are you supposed to?
Right. This isn't an issue of protesting. This is a redress of grievance.
Yeah, I think Dave had a good point, and he was coming from the right area. It's just the judge didn't want to have anything to do with this. And so the judge got him up.
He was going to lose no matter what.
Pretty much. There was one slight opportunity that we believe, after we sort of analyzed it afterwards, we all went out to lunch. We believe there was one opportunity where he might have been able to pull something out, and that was when he took the stand himself. Dave took the stand himself, and the judge asked him, did you put this handbill down on the desk? Because he had already admitted to handing one to the IRS agent. He had to. She was there to testify against him. But she took it from him, right? I mean, he handed it, held it out, and she did take it from him. It was the other case where he left it on a countertop or something, to where that was sort of like, I guess that was sort of the distribution point.
Right.
Where he was just sort of leaving flyers around the IRS office. And so the judge just came out and point blank asked him,
did you leave this handbill on this particular desk or wherever it was that he left it? And Dave obviously didn't want to answer the question, and he made it clear that I'm not going to answer that question. And that's when the judge lied to him and said, well, you're on the stand, and that means you need to give me a yes or no answer.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean that at all. The Fifth Amendment right says you have the right not to incriminate yourself, and it doesn't matter where you're at. The stand isn't magic. There isn't a magic truth wand stuck up your butt while you're up there. You don't have to answer anything that would incriminate you there.
The judge claimed that he waived his right to not answer.
The judge
by
lied.
Getting on the stand. He did lie.
Now, that's appeals sort of grounds for an appeal right there.
Now, to the judge's credit, this guy wasn't as much of a jerk as the Superior Court judge.
I don't care whether he's nice when he lies or not.
No. Now, you didn't let me finish what I was going to say. To his credit, I think he sort of tacitly suggested that Dave appeal. He made it very clear that Dave could appeal, and Dave sort of took this position that, well, I don't know if I want to burden the taxpayers. And the judge pointed out to him, look, these bureaucrats are getting paid regardless of whether or not you appeal or not. I mean, they're going to be sitting in that courtroom for the next time, from time immemorial, whether or not you appear in front of them. They're going to get paid.
That's a true statement.
And he pointed that out, and I think that was good because I think it sunk in a little bit on Dave, the idea that he might want to take this a little bit further. And the judge also said, he essentially said, nobody does anything up there. He said these guys aren't working at the appeals court.
Really? Bureaucrats not working?
Well, yeah. He said, well, why would they? Everybody pleads out. The woman in front of them plead out. We didn't stay long enough to see any other cases, but everybody pleads out in court. So it's very rare, I guess, that anybody bothers to appeal a decision. Hmm. And so the judge fined Dave $125 and said you can pay it at the clerk's office or you can file an appeal. Dave just left. He didn't pay. He didn't go and ask about payment. He didn't file an appeal. He just sort of left. So at this point, the question is up in the air as to what is going to happen next. Will Dave pay the fine? I think that's probably unlikely. Will Dave appeal? He's sort of iffy on that. I'm not sure whether or not he will. I think pretty much everybody there encouraged him to appeal this. Because this is worth fighting.
Yeah.
I mean, this is about freedom of speech. And if he can get a Free Stater, a lawyer who is a Free State Project member, to take the case pro bono, to do it for free, then why not, right? I mean, why not? So we're going to see what will happen.
It's the forum for grievances, grievance resolution. There's no reason that he shouldn't be able to use that forum. I realize that it's a coercive form of grievance resolution, but it's the one we've got.
So
it's the only one available.
So just to recap, the bad news is Dave got the fine. The judge lied to him more than a couple times while he was on the stand, but he's not in jail. So could have been worse. But it wasn't great either.
Well, I wouldn't say it's terrible. Now, having the Free Staters standing behind him, was that in any way, shape, or form valuable for him? Having nice people there?
I'm not sure. I think the latter. Though they did know that we were here, the judge asked a question earlier, before the trial started, about is there anybody here that you haven't talked to the prosecutor or whatever, and Dave said, well, I haven't talked to anybody. And the lady who was sort of overseeing everything said, oh, well, we know you're here. And they said apparently that there was extra, some of the people that had been in that courtroom before said there were extra, I guess, federal agents around sort of following us and that sort of thing.
There were a bunch of people sitting around that you thought were just sitting in the court, but they're actually federal agents.
You could tell who the agents were. They all had sport coats on. So that was that. That was what happened this morning. We'll keep you up to date. I'm sure we'll hear from Dave probably at some point this week, too. Maybe he'll have made up his mind as to what he's going to do about all this. In the meantime, 800-259-9231. We got lots still to talk about here tonight, including, Mark, you've got something about, I guess, James Madison stick figure equality. And Britney, she's back in the news, Mark.
I love Britney Spears.
This time with a sex video.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We're going to the phones first, though. Let's talk to David in North Carolina. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
How you doing, guys?
Good, David. What's on your mind?
Well, first off, you know, last night, or I wouldn't say, on your Veterans Day thing.
Yeah.
There was a guy calling in, and he was one of the last callers in, and he was trying to explain on how we have a standing army as far as the Military Commissions Act was concerned, you know, as far as the money's requisitioned to keep the army going. It is unconstitutional to keep a standing army.
Okay.
And just because it was a loophole doesn't mean that we should have a standing army.
Right, just because they're able to, in some way, get around the... and I think that he... I think that he was a person that's freedom oriented and would like to see the army at least downsized, if nothing else. But you know, and I was a little rough on him. But it's my job. I'm a radio talk show host.
Right.
And now, but at the same time, it's not cool if they figure out a way in order to break the Constitution without breaking the Constitution. I'm sorry, that's
not
what it was made for.
Hold on.
Yes, sir.
All right. Will you agree that the Founding Fathers were men of power at that time and had titles and nobilities by Great Britain?
I don't know. Did they? I mean, most of George Washington
be rescinded. If they had titles, wouldn't you think the
I mean, they were set up in Parliament over on this country to deal with the stuff that was in this country and Great Britain, right? I mean...
No. The Constitutional Convention was put together by, you know, local leaders. I mean, they were important men in their local community, but no more than they weren't in any way given.
The king didn't know him from Adam.
Right.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, then that was my misconception on that. Okay. I always assumed that Benjamin Franklin was an ambassador.
Was an ambassador, but he was an ambassador from here
to there. Okay.
England.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
He wasn't the vice versa. Now his son was a governor appointed by the king over a colony, which I can't remember.
All right. I missed on that point altogether.
Okay.
All right. But would you agree that they were traitors?
Traitors to England?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And would you agree that they was trying to figure out a way to keep the money in this country and not send it to Great Britain?
Totally. Sure.
All right. With that being said, don't you think that the Constitution has loopholes in it to where they keep all the money and there's ways around getting around stuff?
The Constitution's got loopholes all over it. It's a it's not a perfect document. Obviously, if it was perfect, we wouldn't be where we are today. David, thank you for the call.
No.
Hour number two is on the way. Sorry, man. You take control of the airwaves. This is your show. It's Free Talk Live.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronic, photo, cell phone, office product, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supply, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.